Today, I'm starting the Basics of Life series. If you want to be good at anything, if you want to develop your skill level, if you want to improve on something that you want to do to be able to do it more efficiently, then there are certain basic principles and basic tenets that you have to learn first, and then you have to be able to master those things. So you don't just know something and translate that into automatic doing. I like what one of the ministers said the other night up here. This next generation that's coming up, they see a model with muscles, and they hang up that poster, and they're going to the gym, and in 1 week, they're going to look like that poster. And I'm just telling you, that's not going to happen. And so there are some things you cannot shortcut in order to reach success. And I'm telling you, your faith is one of those things. Your faith is what you believe. Your faith is what you do. So what is faith? The Apostle James put it this way. He said, I'll show you my faith by my works. In other words, watch me. He's saying, you can see what I believe by watching the things that I do and the things I don't do. If I ever want to see what someone believes or how they believe, all I have to do is I just watch their life. Most simply said, you do what you believe. Let's go ahead and start out the morning with a Hainanism. I call it a Hainanism because it's not scripture, but it's a saying that the Lord has given me, and it's simply this. Faith is not measured by what you know. It's measured by what you do. So we know a lot of things. We do. We have a lot of information, but are we doing it? Just because you know how to shoot a gun, that doesn't mean you can hit a target. I'm going to say it this way. Just because you know how to play tennis doesn't make you a tennis player. Now, let me explain the difference. Because there may be a lot of people here that play tennis. But until you have stepped on the court with a tennis player, if anyone thinks you can play tennis here, I'll put you on the court with my son. My son is a tennis player, and I play with my son. And there's a difference if you step on the court with us versus someone who just plays tennis. Do you understand? You can use that in any sport. You can use that in anything. You can use that in any profession. There is a measure of where you have to learn a certain thing. And then you have to become proficient at that thing by repetitively doing those basic things over and over. When you start out playing a piano, you're counting keys. And you have to watch the keys. Then pretty soon you start playing, and you play so many times with those basic, rudimentary, fundamental things that pretty soon you don't have to watch anymore. And after a while, you don't even have to think, you just play. Now, you can be an efficient piano player, and you can stop playing the piano for 5 years, and when you go back, it's almost like starting over. The skills will still be there, but man, you're tripping all over your fingers, you forgot some of the chords, and I'm trying to translate that into the Christian walk. Because just because maybe one time in your life you were Liberace. Right now, you may be a little bit more like Schroeder. That's the guy who plays on Snoopy. One finger. So do you want full faith or do you want one finger faith? You got to figure out, you have to continue to do basic things if you want to stay proficient in the thing that you're doing. Now, our first coach, Mr. Bill, he used to always make a statement. We would work so much time on our stroke. And he would just say, so many times we'd get up to hit a ball and we'd try to guide it. He'd say, stop that. He'd say, trust your stroke. What was he saying? He said, you've worked that thing so many times, just let it go. That's why you worked it. Just trust it. Trust the thing that you've been working. Sure enough, you'd step up and bam, you'd just take the shot. Boom, right down the line, shoot the line. But how can you trust your stroke if you haven't been proficient at the things that it took to develop that stroke? So it is with the things of God. How can you trust your faith if you haven't spent time to develop the fundamental, rudimentary parts that are required in that faith or of that faith? Now listen, we put so much time in so many other things. But we tend to put very minimal time on the things that require us to develop ourselves in the faith and the thing that we say is the most important thing in our life. Okay, I'm a physician, so I'm all about tests. Why do we do tests? Why do we run tests? In school, why do you take tests? So you know where you are at any given time. You may think you're smarter than you are. You may think you're further along than you are. So sometimes you need a test to ground you, to show you that maybe you're not where you are, or maybe you're farther than you thought. So I don't know where you are, but let's just do a little test right here, okay? And you don't have to answer out loud, but I want you to answer to yourself. I want you, everyone in here, to take the test. What did you do this past week to develop yourself in your faith? That you can say specifically, I did this. You know, maybe I sat down and I read my Bible so many times this week. We're in 21 weeks of prayer. Maybe you said, you know what? I'm going to do 15 minutes of prayer a day. I don't know. What did you do that you could honestly say, I'm not talking about blessing your food and your little trivial prayers. I'm talking about what did you do to develop your faith? Next question. What did you do to reinforce the things of God that you already knew about? So you know all these things about the Bible and what God requires. How many of those things did you do or practice or work at or train yourself into to become even more proficient to reinforce those things of God? Next question. How much did you study God's Word this week in order that you might become more knowledgeable about the things we say are the most important things in this world and in this life? We make a lot of sayings. Oh, Jesus is more important than anything. Is it? Is he? Oh, God, he's everything. Is he? Now, I'm asking questions. I'm not here to poke at you. I'm not here, but I am here to step on your toes a little bit or maybe put a whip on your back to try to get us back to the place where we can get back to these basic things that are required in order to keep us strong and healthy, watch this, in our faith. Because if your faith's not right, nothing else in your life is right. If your faith is weak, your life is weak. If your faith is anemic, your life is anemic. If your faith is lacking, you are lacking in the things of your life. You can go down each and every channel of your life, and you will see weakness if your faith is not strong. Can I get an amen, please? So just by doing one self-evaluation, those are hard questions, aren't they? Because they really wake us up and sober us up to the fact that, man, we know a lot, but we aren't doing anything with our do. We're doing a lot with our know, but we're not doing anything with the do. So you have to do it. I'll show you my faith by my works. What I'm doing, it's not what you know, it's what you do. So what are you going to do with what I'm teaching you today? What are you going to do? So, Proverbs 4:7 clearly states that wisdom is the principal thing. But it says, with that getting in the wisdom of God, you got to get understanding. And we say that, and we're like, well, of course you do. But I'm going to show you how true that statement is and how convinced we are that we think we're somewhere that I don't believe we are. May I proceed? Time for another test. I'm going to give you probably the most basic Bible test I know how to give. I used to do this in churches all around the world, and I would even watch the preachers' faces fall. Are you ready? You don't have to answer these out loud. I want you to self-take the test. I can tell you in here, no one will make 100. How many books are there in the Bible? And if you know that answer, then name them in order. Just go through and name all the books in the Bible. Number two, how many disciples were there? Name them. I'll just ask one more because I don't think I need to go much further. I want you to name and quote with the address three salvation scriptures, and you can't use John 3:16. Shall I go on? Shall I continue? Or let's face it, no one in here has passed the test because 100% is required. Those are the most basic Bible tenets that I know. So we say we know, but do we really know? Is there anything more basic than those questions? So are we really doing the basics of life? Are we really doing our fundamentals? Are we really spending the time that we need to spend? Matthew 5:8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Pure in heart. What does that mean? It means clean, pure, clear. I'm reading out of the commentary. Guiltless, innocent, upright. When Jesus puts his Holy Spirit in you, when he said, "One will come after me," it was a spirit of absolute truth. 100% absolute truth. How many people know that truth and non-truth cannot cohabitate? So the whole idea is to get your life filled with truth. Another word for that is you got to get your life spirit-filled. The Bible says you either got to be hot or you got to be cold. He says if you can't believe, then a man is double-minded. And if you're double-minded, it says you're unstable in all your ways. So in every way in our life, we have to be one and single-minded on the things of God. And it's the Holy Spirit that allows us to have this. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent, therefore, be converted," that means changed, "that your sins may be blotted out." It's asking for a change of heart. Why? "So that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Times of refreshing. 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 That, I'm telling you, that is so powerful in that scripture. But it comes from what? The presence of the Lord. I'm going to say it again because there's so many people need refreshing and they don't know how to get it, and it tells us in this scripture how. It comes from the presence of the Lord. Cleansing comes from repentance, comes from conversion, blotting out of your sins. Then the presence of the Lord comes in and sustains us. 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Sometimes we don't get the picture. You are a temple of God. Do you remember back in the Old Testament, everything in the temple was in order? You had the outer court, the inner court. You had the Holy of Holies. You had everything in each court designed specifically to be there for a specific purpose. There was perfect order, perfect cleanliness. We are the temples of the Holy Ghost. Yet, if we did an inventory of ourselves, instead of looking clean like a temple, it would look more like a flea market. So at some point, we need to go back and we need to repent, which means have the change of heart, change of mind. The whole mindset needs to change. And we need to get back to who God says we are. We're temples. But are we treating our bodies like the temple of God? Now, there is a parallel in the spirit, that everything in the body is also represented in the spirit. And I always say and believe that things happen in the spirit before they happen in the natural, not the other way around. Now, there can be things happen that cause spiritual effects, no doubt. But I'm telling you, God has already planned everything spiritual in your life, so it will manifest in the physical realm. Amen? So, for years, I went around, that are for over 30 years, been around the globe, teaching on how to keep the body alive. Spirit, soul, and body. And I took it down to the basic component. And there's three things. The basic component of the body, the physical body, is the cell. And everything develops around that cell. And there's three things that cell has to have to stay alive. You have to feed it, you have to cleanse it, and you have to protect it. That's my first book, Feed, Cleanse, and Protect. Sold hundreds of thousands of copies. Feed, cleanse, protect. And when you do, that cell then begins to reproduce, and it reproduces healthy cells. If it doesn't, it reproduces sick cells. If you have more sick cells than you do well cells, we call it sickness. If you have more well cells than you do sick cells, we call it wellness. Can you see how it has? So you have to choose what you want to do in your physical body. But also know, which is what I'm here to talk about today, in the basic spirituality of your life, there is a parallel with that of the spirit. So it is with the spirit like it is with the body. In the body, the basic component is the cell. In the spirit, listen to me, the basic component is the heart. Because the heart is not an organ when it speaks of in the Bible. Nowhere when the Bible uses the word heart is it talking about the pump that's in your chest. Look at the words. The words are talking about the flow of life, the center of the flow of life, where everything comes in and flows out of a person. Cardia, nefesh. Those are the words that explain this. The thoroughway. When the Romans would besiege a town, they would take that town and they would make one main road and they would call it the Cardia, because everything flowed in and out of it. That's where we get the word cardio from. We're doing cardio, meaning heart. And in the body, it's a physical organ. In the spirit, it's that place where everything flows out of it, where the decisions are made. You can't even get saved until you go to that part of who you are and make a decision in that part of who you are. And when you make that decision, then from the abundance of that place you make the decision, it'll start make the mouth talking. And then the mouth will confess the thing that you believed and made whole. You said, I want salvation, Lord. Then you have to believe it in that part of you, and then it will come out and you will confess it. That's when you're saved. Why? Because until this part of you changes, this part, it doesn't matter what it says, until this part makes change, till this part believes it and does it, you're not saved. Because you really don't believe it. But if you believe it, you are. And that's the most exciting part, because I'm saved, are you? Why? Because I believe it. My mouth confesses it. But my life has to line up with it. I show you my faith by my works, by what I do. Watch my life. So the basic component is the heart. And guess what? Your spirit, just like the cell, you have to feed it, you have to cleanse it, and you have to protect it. Same analogy. So I want to run through quickly those analogies so you know how to take care of the temple and the spirit in the temple that God gave you. How do you feed the spirit? Okay. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. John 1:14, he said, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So watch this. The word, this is Jesus in your life. Everybody's always talking about, well, I love Jesus. Well, then you love the word. You know, I just need some more Jesus. No, what you're saying is you need some more word. I need to be more like Jesus. So you need some more word. Oh, Jesus, my Savior, he's my everything. Then are you with your word every day? How many people want more Jesus? Then you want more of his word, because this is Jesus. This is your Jesus. If I don't get anything else said today, this is your Jesus. Why? Because he says, John 6:35, Jesus said, he said, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. I'm the word made flesh, dwelt among you. Here, the bread of life. You hold it in your hand. We can even go online and get the bread of life now. You get fed on a buffet anytime you want. The bread of life, the word of God. He says, whoever comes to me will never go hungry. He said, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. That's how you keep your spirit man alive. Give us this day our daily bread. You got to have your daily bread, both physically and spiritually. Now, we got the daily bread and the physical thing down. Man, we eating Wendy's and Taco Bell and everything. But what about your spirit, man? Who eats the most? In your household, who eats the most? I'm talking to each individual. Does your body eat more than your spirit? How long do you spend at your meals? 30 minutes to an hour? How long are you feeding on the bread of life? Whoever's eating the most is growing the most. So this is flesh. It's always working in opposition to God. It makes me do the things I don't want to do. It won't let me do the things that I want to do. That's what Paul said. So who do you want to grow, Jekyll or Hyde? Do you really want to grow the flesh more than you want to grow the spirit? I'm just asking questions. Don't get me wrong. We throw a little snack to the spirit. We do. Right before you stuff down that triple with large fries, ketchup dripping down your face. Right before you pack that in there, you say this quick, Lord, please bless it. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So you threw the spirit a snack. He got one French fry. And you got the deluxe combo meal for the flesh. Who's growing? Daily bread. It needs its daily bread to stay nourished. If you don't eat, you'll become weak and you'll become deficient. If you don't eat, you will lose your strength. If you don't eat, you will begin to atrophy and you will waste away. spiritually, I'm asking you today, if you're not feeding yourself, how you doing? How you feeling? I can already tell. Because if you've been feeding that spirit, it's healthy. Let me tell you something. When I eat clean and I eat right and I go to the gym, I can knock it out of the park. I'm strong. I got endurance because I'm well nourished. I can fast for 3 days and try to go to that gym. I can barely get the first set. But I'm not going to feed my spirit. And I'm going to come to church, be part of a worship service. Pooped out. After some of y'all, after the first half of the song, your nostrils are flaring, you're hanging on. Pastor Anise was extending, pushing you a little bit in worship today, and I could just feel it. Some of y'all are going, come on, let's get to the preacher, man. You weren't comfortable. You're like, man, we passed the three-minute point. What's going on here? You're going past two songs. We did another one? I got to stand through another one? We used to stand for 3 hours. We used to lift our hands, tears running down our veins. When's the last time you got up and prayed something through? When I'm talking about it, it made a big difference when you walked through and you stayed and you ground that thing out and you got in there on it until you stayed with it. And then you got in the spirit. God was having you pray things. You didn't even know you knew how to pray. Next thing you know, man, you get a phone call 2 hours later. Hey, this happened and that happened. And you know you were the one praying and you didn't tell anybody. We say we want change, but do we want to pay the price to get there? Because if you want change, you'll do what you need to do to get it. It's amazing how holy we get around crisis. Something bad happens in your life. I got a bad report from the doctor. Now we're going to fast. Now we're going to pray. Now, hope you didn't wait too long. I'm saying hard things here because we've got to recognize who we are, what we're doing, and what we're not, and more importantly, what do we need to do? You need to understand that your spirit is just as real as your flesh. And if you're not feeding it, you are spiritually weak. If you're spiritually weak, how are you going to hear God? How are you going to feel that unction to know to move when it's time to move? To go when it's time to go? To stay and not go at all when you're not supposed to go? How are you going to keep the pace when the enemy turns up the heat on you to wear you down when you can't even get through the first round of the fight because you're out on your feet, because you're so weak and emaciated because you haven't fed yourself? We don't tell you to read the word just because it's cliche. Oh, you got to read your word. Read your word. Eat. Eat till you're satisfied. Eat till you're full. Eat till the cravings are gone. If you're craving things of the flesh, you haven't had enough to eat. I don't know. How do I make it stop? How do I make it go away? Eat! How about starve the flesh? Don't feed that thing anymore and start eating some daily bread. I'm going to call it the daily bread diet. Eat. Eat your way out of the problem. 1 Corinthians 1:8 says, He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be free from all the blame when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. Got to go to the next one. Cleanse. Okay. In the body, we have filters. Most people don't even know we have filters in the body. How does your body stay clean? You got a liver right here. That liver is like an oil filter in your car. Okay? Filters the blood. Then you've got your water filters, your kidneys in the back. That's your water filters. And you got these filters. You got your lungs. Your lungs are your air filters. Got it? You got filtration systems all the way through. You got spleen, it's your red blood cell filter. And then it all dumps into a big place called a colon, which is like, you know, when you go clean out an office building, you go get all the little garbage cans, and you go out back to that dumpster, and you put, this is the dumpster. Got it? And so the filters, I start talking to my people, how many people have ever cleaned their filters? And they looked at me. Are you supposed to clean your filters? Yes, you're supposed to clean your filters. Now, you can go get my book if you want to see how. Right now, I'm not teaching on that. But what I'm trying to tell you is that's how your body was designed. Well, guess what? So is your spirit. Spirit's the same way. Your spirit can get contaminated. So you want to get those toxins out so your body's not contaminated. Because if it's contaminated, it will get sick. So you got to keep the contaminant out. So in the body, 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, listen to me, let us purify, that means to cleanse, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates the body and spirit. Perfect holiness, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Did you hear that? There's contaminants in the body and the spirit, says right here. So we've got to make a focus on not just feeding, but we got to keep the contaminants out. Or that also makes us sick in our spirit, makes us weak, makes us anemic. Anybody here ever been really sick? Do you feel like doing much? How's your energy? Are you effective in your life? No, you're laying in bed. So you understand that in the body, but what about your spirit? You need to be standing up and you're laying down. You need to get up, but you can't. You're stuck laying down because you're drained. You're contaminated. And your spirit, man, is sick. So Psalms 51 in the King James tells us what to do. And it's the prayer of David. He says, create in me a clean heart. Oh God, renew a right spirit within me. So you got to clean the heart, that area that we're believing in, that area that is like the cell in the body. We've got to, right here, give me a clean heart and a right spirit within me. Ephesians 5:26 tells you how to do it. Okay? And it says this. By washing with the water through the word. We're back to the word. Washing through the water of the word. Now listen, I want to give you some insight on this. I'm going to read from Ellicott's commentary. And it says, talking about washing in the word, the true rendering is that he might sanctify it, having cleansed it in the laver of the water in the word. Now, the reference to the laver of water in this scripture is talking about baptism. Washing through the water with the word, he's making an inference to the mikvah vath, the cleansing, the baptizo, the baptizing, cleansing, coming out, completely cleansed, free of all contaminants, all sin. That's what this is making reference to. It says, and it's even more unquestionable, is that in the labor of regeneration that's talked about in Titus 3:5. So watch this. It's not just about cleansing. There is a regeneration that happens. See, when God takes the contaminants out, he puts a regenerative state into you. So many people I walk around are so sick in their spirit that it's manifesting in their body. When if they could get the washing of the word, that cleansing of that word through their system, through the believing here in that one part, where that word just keeps penetrating that part to create a belief, they'll start to see things different in their life. They'll start to let go of hate. They'll let go of bitterness. They'll start to forgive people, forgive things. They'll see things in new lights. Their desires will change. God will give them the desires, and they'll lose their own. There's a washing that comes through the word into the heart, and then it disperses out into the whole being, and the sickness then begins to be healed. Because there's a regenerative phase that comes in behind the cleansing, and it's regenerated. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. That's regenerated. New was one way. Now it's new. Regenerated. The new man in Christ. How much time are we spending in regeneration? How much time are we spending in cleansing? How much time are we spending feeding ourselves? The water washes us in the natural. The word washes us in the spirit. And listen to this. I want you to get this in your spirit. The cleansing component of the word is what the word has already accomplished. Did anybody hear me? This is speaking in past tense. This isn't something you go to and you hope will happen. This is something you take in like a medicine that has already taken place. And then it begins to take place in your life, and then you can move forward from that place. It's not something that's coming, it's something that's been. It's a new thing in you, but it's not a new thing. I don't know, is it today you're going to be looking in that and see that scripture, and that one scripture is going to hit in there, and all of a sudden all your sickness is going to be gone? Is it going to be today you see that scripture and you're reading it, and all of a sudden, man, you've read that scripture 45 times, but today when you read it, it's like they jump off the page and they explode in your brain, and you're like, oh, I never saw that before. And all of a sudden you are able to forgive somebody you haven't been able to forgive in 20 years. And that thing's been making you so dog sick that you maybe even are getting cancer cells in your body. And that comes out. And then the body begins to regenerate because it's no longer contaminating any longer. And the Lord will restore you and make you whole. I'm trying to use natural examples that we live with every day to see spiritual principles that are just, I would say, more important than the daily ones. Jesus said, man cannot live on bread alone, but you have to have bread, right? You can't starve to death, but you don't live on that alone. You live on daily bread, right? So you need both. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to have both. So, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from our sins. But when he left, he said he'd leave one. He said, I'll leave you a comforter, a counselor. Why? In order to keep us clean. Now listen, I had a German grandmama, and we called her Mamie. Mamie was tough. And how many remember being outside playing late in the evening? Just start getting dark. And it's just starting to get fun. And there's a part of you where dread set in because you knew any minute you were going to have to come in. You're going to hear that voice calling you in, and you wanted to stay out because you were in it, man. You're having so much fun. And I would hear my grandmother's voice, Mamie, Scotty! Scotty! I hated to hear that voice. Scotty! Because I knew she meant she wanted me to come take a bath. I hated taking baths. I didn't want to take a bath. I didn't want to come in. Scotty! Everything in my flesh would shake. Ah! I'd act like I didn't hear. She'd get louder. Scotty! But see, my father had my grandmother there in my life Because without her, I couldn't stay clean. And I'll tell you, it's that voice will speak to you, and sometimes you hate to hear it because you're having such a good time. That voice will speak to you so many times, and you don't want to hear it because you're just too busy doing your thing, or you don't feel like you're up to it. I don't want to stop this. I just want you to leave me alone. No, Scotty! Scotty! That Holy Spirit will not leave you alone. And the more you try to ignore him, the louder he'll get. Scotty! So pretty soon you can't take, I couldn't take here anymore. I'd come in because I couldn't take the voice anymore. That's why God puts the Holy Spirit in your life. He'll speak to you. He'll speak to you. And he'll speak to you. He'll get louder. And if that doesn't work, he'll show it to you through people. And he'll just keep making it loud till finally, take a bath! It's time to get clean. Time to do a mikvah. Time to do a baptism. Time to get cleansed so there's a regeneration can come in behind the cleansing to renew and refresh you. Last one, then we got to go. Feed, cleanse, the last one's protect. Now I'm going to give you a scripture you may have never thought along these lines, but I want you to see the parallels. For years, I taught in the body the way you try to protect the physical body, that cell, is to stop oxidation. What's oxidation? It's another word for rust. Put a shiny piece of metal outside, leave it 3 days, you come back in, that's oxidation. Got it? Anybody ever see the hood of your car starts getting whiter and whiter when the sun keeps beating on it? That's oxidation. Is that a good change or a bad? It's bad. It's degenerative. It destroys you. It breaks you down slowly over time. So we try to stop the process of oxidation. Another way we try to protect is we got to kill the bugs. You got to get rid of the bugs. You got viruses, you got bacterias, you got fungals, you got molds, you got yeasts, you got parasites. Man, it's a bug fest. So to protect the body, you got to get rid of the bugs, and you got to get rid of the oxidation, the rust, internal rust. So in Matthew 6:19, it says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, bugs and oxidation. Moth is a bug. What does a bug do to things in the natural? Breaks it down, chews it down, degenerates it. And rust, oxidation, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust. Wow. The Bible tells you how to stop oxidation and how to get rid of bugs that are breaking down your spirit. Did you hear what happened there? Talking about being kingdom-minded. See, we stay earthly-minded. Everything we're doing, we're letting the bugs and the rust come in, and it's eating our lunch. Do you know what oxidation and bugs do? They accelerate aging. Let me put it another way. Increases morbidity. Okay, I'll say it another way. It ends your life shorter than it should. Steals away life from you. Same thing in your spirit. You have to have protection from these things. So, if the bugs and the rust are in your life because you're so focused on everything in the natural instead of things on kingdom, you're getting life stolen away from you because those things are sucking the life out of you. Because that's where your heart is. And the rest of that verse says, for where your treasure is, There will be your heart. We're back to that cell. So it's stuck on that place where you're rusting out. Because every decision in your life is focused on that and focused on this. And you're dying prematurely. Christ said, I came to give life so you might have it more abundantly. And you're letting the world steal it from you. Suck you like an energy vampire. Second Thessalonians 3:3 says, but the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. Acts 3:19 tells us how. Repent, therefore, be converted. We're right back. That your sins may be blotted out. So a time of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. We've circled back to the presence of the Lord. Do you understand what the presence of the Lord does? There is a refreshing that comes. And behind the refreshing is the regeneration. And the only way you're going to stop the moth and the rust is to get kingdom-minded. The only way you can feed, cleanse, and protect is to wash in the Word, to feed the Word, and get your daily bread. And if you feed and you cleanse and you protect yourself, you will come into a state of complete wholeness and wellness. Spirit, soul, and body. Outer court, inner court, and holy of holies. Your temple then becomes to be restored back in order. But it comes from presence of the Lord. When you're praying, you are one with God. You are in His presence. No one can leave the presence of God unchanged. When you're fasting, you are fasting the things of this world and feeding on your daily bread. So you're making your spirit man stronger than your flesh man. When you're praising and you're worshiping, you can feel the ushering of the presence of the Lord come in. Whether you're by yourself or it's a corporate anointing. You think we're doing this for entertainment? We're trying to get the presence of the Lord in here to you. You need to press in past your flesh. Forget how you feel. Forget if you're not comfortable doing it. You need to get uncomfortable being, you need to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And allow the presence of God to come in, because it's in that presence that you receive the refreshing that leads to the regeneration that will rebuild you spirit, soul, and body. Some of us are so wounded, are so broken, are so degenerative. Some of us have been ripped apart inside. And you need God's healing. You're not going to find it in a pill bottle. You're not going to find it in a whiskey bottle. You're not going to find it in a pot cigarette. You're not going to find it online or Dr. Google. There's only one place you can go. You have to feed, get your daily bread every day. You have to cleanse through the washing of the Word so you can be cleansed and you can be healed. And you have to be in the presence of the Lord in order to be protected. Feed, cleanse, and protect. These are the basics of life. Can you please stand to your feet? I've been in months of prayer on how to deliver this series to you. And this is where the Lord told me to start. Because if you don't get this, doesn't matter what we teach after this, it's just going to go right over your head. If you don't know how to stay alive spiritually, then how are you going to live out to do the things God's called you to do? I told you this before, but I'm going to say it again. You can think of 1,000 reasons why you can't do something, but all you need is one excuse why you can. Church, we've got to make some changes. Physical body and in the spirit. The cravings of the flesh, we've got to start dealing with them. And the only way you're going to deal with them is to make your spirit man stronger than your flesh man, so you lose the cravings. Whoever's stronger is who will crave. If your spirit man's stronger, he'll crave the word. He'll crave praise. He'll crave worship. He'll crave the presence of God. If your flesh man's stronger, he'll crave everything else. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, I've set before you blessing and cursing. And he says, choose. Gives us a choice. Says you got to choose one. Now he would and prays that you would choose blessing, because he tells us in his word that he would. But ultimately the choice is up to you. And watch this, by not making a choice, you've already made a choice. So at some point in our lives, we have to step up. We have to say, this is what I'm doing. We can't always wait based on what we're knowing. We have to step up for what we're going to do. I say it's right now. I don't think we need to put it off another moment, another day. When I was preaching up here, I know the Lord's already convicted you on what he needed to speak and deal with you about. I don't have to say a word about it. You already know in here. Your heart. Because your heart's calling out, crying out, because it's not getting what it needs. When you're thirsty, nothing's going to quench it but something wet. If you're thirsty and you eat a pack of crackers, you're done. And when your heart is calling out for some Jesus, this is the only thing that's going to work. If you're here today, you said, yeah, Pastor, you know what? I'll step up. You're right, it's time. I don't have any more excuses for my life. I'm ready to fix it right now. Today's the day. Maybe you've never asked Jesus into your life, and you're going to say, or maybe you prayed a prayer, but you didn't make him Lord of your life. You didn't say, I'm going to do it this way. But maybe today you'd like to pray that prayer. You'd like to say, that's me. I'm doing it today. Today I'm going to make a stand, and I'm going to do it his way. If we have anybody in here like that today, I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to know who you are, because in a little bit we're going to pray, and I just want to know who I'm praying for when I pray. But if that's you today, you say, that's me, Pastor. Today is that it. Just lift your hand so I can see who you are. Lift it up for devil change. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? Thank you for that hand. Is anyone else? You're not asking to join a church. You're just saying, today, I'm getting my heart right with Jesus. Because this is for the next group. Next group, you know Jesus, but you just got away from him a little bit. You just kind of strayed a little bit. We've all been there. And you know, when I was preaching today, the Lord was calling you back. And you need to get back in your place with God. If that's you, let me see a hand. Go ahead. Put your hand up. Don't be embarrassed. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Lights are bright. Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? Thank you for that hand. You put your hands down. Now here's the last one. Here's the ones I feel is most important, because it touches everybody. The Lord has a way of speaking to you through his word. And when he confronts you with an issue, you have to make a choice. Like I said before, by not making a choice, you made a choice. The problem is, you have been presented with the truth, and now you know the truth. And to know that truth will make you free only if you accept it. And only if you do it. Not just to know it, but to know and to do. So if that's anybody in here, and when I was preaching today, you thought, boy, I got to clean this up. I got to fix this in my body, or I need to fix this in my spirit, or I need to fix several things, whatever. But I'm talking to everybody now. And I'm going to put my hand up first. How many people need to fix some things? Look around. I want us to hold each other accountable. Now, I want you to look at least three people and say, because it means I got you. Say, I'm going to do it. 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 Now, you just gave your word. All liars have their place in the lake of fire. Do you understand if we could just get this fixed, I wouldn't even have to teach the rest of the series. Don't worry, I'm going to go through and I'm going to break down a lot of things, but this is the introduction where we're going to look down into the deepest core of who we are. So first of all, we know what we believe. Number two, that we understand it. And then number three, that we believe it enough to where we'll actually do it. That's what we're going to do. We're going to be doing that over the next few weeks. Now's a great time to bring somebody into church. Some people have never heard this kind of teaching. Some people have never just got confronted and had to make decisions. Well, we do. Why? Because we want you to have the best life ever. The best blessed life ever. And there are no shortcuts. There is one way. And that is the way, the truth, and the life. No one come to the Father but by Him. So what I want to do right now is I want to pray that prayer I talked about. It's a prayer of salvation out of Romans 10 and 9. Basically, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus was the Son of God, He did everything that His Bible says He said He would do and is done, that if you believe that and confess it with your mouth, you'll be saved. That word saves, the word sozo, it means healed and restored in every area of your life. God wants to heal you. He wants to restore you. So when we pray this prayer, everybody's going to pray it. But it's not important that you hear me pray it or the person beside you. It's the person that you pray. When you pray it, you mean it. Right here in this heart we talked about today. And if you believe it and you confess it, you'll be saved. So when we say amen, that finalized, that's a so be it in heaven. That means it is a done, it is finished. At that moment, heaven's going to get pretty excited about what's going on down here. So while they're rejoicing, I want us to rejoice with them as soon as we say amen. Because we've got a lot to be thankful for. A lot. So please, everyone, bow your head and repeat after me. Say, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. I ask you to come into my heart. Fill me. Cleanse me. Make me every whit whole. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. And I believe God raised you from the dead. Therefore, I'm a new creation. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new in my life. I am a child of God. Heaven is my home. And you are my Lord. I believe it. And now confess it. And that settles it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. Now come on, let's give God a praise that is worthy of a God who takes care of us. Now come on, that's just not good enough. You've got to give God a real praise today. For some of you, I know it's a lot to take in, to put things into perspective, but I'm going to ask you through these weeks to come to kind of put yourself through self-examination and be willing and pliable to make the changes that need to be made in your life so you can have a life, but you can also have it more abundantly. Amen. God bless you, everyone. You can bring the speaker up here.